Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
Today, Monday, December 4th, is the feast of St. John Damascene, priest and doctor of the Church. And these are today's headlines. Israeli forces are expanding their ground operations in Gaza after last week's ceasefire ended. Tensions between Venezuela and Guyana in South America are rising in a dispute over the oil-rich region of Guyana Essequibo. And Pope Francis meets with his Council of Cardinal Advisors with discussions focusing on the feminine dimension of the Church. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Our top world news story today, the Israeli military is expanding its ground operation into all areas of the Gaza Strip following the resumption of fighting after a ceasefire last week. Here's Nathan Morley with the latest.
An Israeli commander has said the objectives of the army's ground offensive in northern Gaza have almost been achieved, even as it presses ahead with operations in the south. Israel has instructed tens of thousands of Palestinians to move, but an Israeli spokesman denied Israel was trying to drive the population from Gaza permanently. A UN official on the ground, James Elder, said Palestinians were running out of places to go.
Hundreds of thousands of people on the move, probably for the third or fourth time. Some cannot because there's not enough transport to move them. Many are well aware that they are moving to a place with no water, no shelter, it's cold, starting to rain, no sanitation.
Senior American officials have reiterated their view that Israel has a right to defend itself, but added that its troops must protect civilians. Meanwhile, the Turkish president, Tayyip Erdogan, has said that the Israeli prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, would eventually be tried as a war criminal over Israel's ongoing offensive in Gaza. Unlike most of its Western allies, Turkey does not view Hamas as a terrorist organization. The Hamas attack on Israel in early October killed 1,200 people, with 240 others taken hostage. Since then, Gaza's Hamas-run health ministry says more than 15,500 people have been killed in Israel's retaliatory campaign. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
Elsewhere, a conflict between Guyana and Venezuela over an oil-rich region is threatening regional instability and has been worsened by a referendum held by Venezuela. James Blears tells us more about the situation.
Venezuela's government has brought a territorial dispute with Guyana to the surface and to the boil by initiating a referendum which they insist reinforces their claim to have the area incorporated into their territory at long last. The oil-rich region is called Essequibo, covering 159,500 square kilometers of land currently under the control of Guyana. It came under their sphere of influence in 1899 via the ruling of an international panel giving it to Britain, which was back then the controlling colonial power. Venezuela argues this was an arbitrary, imperialist decision, and the issue is now before the Court of International Justice, which Venezuela does not recognize on this matter. Venezuela has taken the bull by the horns by announcing its own referendum. The most biting and controversial question is whether a new Venezuelan state should be created. According to Venezuelan authorities, 95.9% of those who voted said yes to this. Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro announces this is a clear and decisive victory, and the territory in question must now be reclaimed and incorporated. This has been angrily denounced by Guyana's President Ifeanyi Ali, who says it's precipitating the possibility of conflict on an issue of sovereignty. Tensions worsened after Guyana held auctions last September for oil exploration licenses. Guyanans protested on Sunday, forming a human chain to interlock their national rights. Guyana's government says they will defend their territory and borders. The International Court of Justice is warning Venezuela against taking any further action at this time. Their final decision has yet to be announced. For Vatican Radio, James Blears reporting.
And staying in the Americas, the Catholic bishops of Haiti have released a message at the start of Advent urging the suffering nation to look to the birth of Jesus as a sign of hope in a future of peace and security. Sister Nina Benedicta Krapic tells us more.
The bishops of Haiti have launched an appeal in a Christmas message released to the start of Advent. "We must work with determination to build fraternity among the people of Haiti," say the bishops, adding that Haitians are wounded and torn by fratricidal struggles for power and profit. In their message, the bishops invite Haitians to embark on a path of dialogue and to work together to help engender the hope represented by the birth of Jesus. The bishops say Christmas enlightens us and invites us to take our destiny into our hands. They also express their solidarity with the suffering of the Haitian people and offer their condolences for the victims of senseless violence. "The dramatic situation of our people worsens by day," say the bishops. "With the hellish grip of armed groups, skyrocketing cost of living, and disorientation of young people leaving the country, and the indifference of the authorities." On the other hand, the message reads, "The context of the Synod of the Church invites us to act differently in Haiti." The bishops urge people to listen to each other, engage in sincere dialogue, walk together and live together to better discern according to the Holy Spirit and to build our nation together. They invite the faithful to undertake a real spiritual and civil awakening, starting from personal and collective conversion. This awakening will require commitment of everyone for Haiti's recovery, they admit. Finally, the bishops say the joy of Christmas will be even greater if concrete measures are taken for a resolution of the crises. I'm Sister Nina Benedicta Krapic.
After the opening 4 days, which saw Pope Francis at his authoritative voice once again urging world leaders not to postpone climate action any longer, COP28 gets into full swing this week to discuss the key issues to address the climate crisis. Negotiators are set to debate the hot-button question of moving away from fossil fuel energy sources to contain global warming within the 1.5 degrees Celsius increase agreed in 2015, with a view to adopt a final text by the end of the COP28, which is scheduled for December 12th. The wording of the text is crucial, according to Lola Vallejo, the director of the climate program of the Institute for Sustainable Development and International Relations. She spoke with Vatican News about the importance of the wording of the text. Lisa Zingarini has more to tell us.
The COP28 final text, which is to be adopted by December the 12th, will set the course for countries' climate policy actions to meet the long-term Paris Agreement goals of limiting the global temperature rise to 1.5 Celsius degrees. According to the first Global Stocktake report on the implementation of the 2015 Landmark Agreement, actions carried out so far by countries are lagging behind this objective. World leaders will base their discussions in Dubai on a preparatory document which says states must prepare a reduction or exit from fossil fuels. The wording of the text is crucial, as confirmed to Vatican News by Lola Vallejo, director of the climate program of the Institute for Sustainable Development and International Relations. Developing countries, alongside many faith-based and civil society groups, are pressing for full phase-out of coal, oil and gas, which are the primary drivers of climate change. Fossil-producing countries, on the other hand, insist on a phase-down or a phase-out only of unabated fossil fuels, those burnt without using technology to capture their planet-warming emissions. Mrs. Valéjour explained that the difference between the two options would be a signal sent to the markets and all the business community, showing that the era of fossil fuels is coming to an end and that we are in the process of moving to a new energy system in which we will place much more emphasis on energy efficiency and on renewable energies in particular. Regarding the carbon capture and sequestration technologies which would allow to pull emissions from the atmosphere, Mrs. Valéjour remarked that they are costly and cannot be considered as a miracle solution. I am Lisa Zingarini.
And briefly in other world news, Guinea-Bissau President Umaro Sissoko Embalo issued a decree Monday dissolving the nation's opposition-controlled parliament, less than 6 months after it was reconstituted following a similar move by the president in 2022. Embalo cited last week's shootout between troops loyal to him and forces controlled by the parliament, which he described as a failed coup. The leadership of the parliament, on the other hand, rejected the president's move, noting that the constitution states the parliament cannot be dissolved in the first 12 months after an election. It's the second time in less than 2 years that Embalo has dissolved the parliament. And finally, turning to news from here in the Vatican, Pope Francis held a meeting today with the Council of Cardinal Advisors, known informally as the C9. As Devin Watkins reports, the Pope has said that the focus of the meetings would be on the feminine dimension of the Church.
Pope Francis presided over a meeting of the C9 Council of Cardinal Advisors on Monday in the Vatican. He announced late last week that the meeting would focus on a discussion of the feminine dimension of the Church. The Pope revealed the topic during an audience with the International Theological Commission on November 30th. "The Church is woman," said Pope Francis on that occasion, adding that if we do not understand what woman is or what the theology of womanhood is, then we will never understand what the Church is. He also described the, quote, "masculinizing" of the Church as a great sin which has yet to be resolved. The Pope appealed to a distinction proposed by Jesuit theologian Hans Urs von Balthasar, who described a Petrine or ministerial principle and a Marian or mystical principle. "The Marian is more important than the Petrine," Pope Francis said, "because there is the bride church, the feminine church, without being masculine." The last meeting of the Council of Cardinals took place in late June and saw the cardinals reflect with the Pope on various themes. At the time, these included the ongoing war in Ukraine, the implementation of Praedicate Evangelium in local churches, and the work of the plenary assembly of the Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors. They also spoke about the Synod General Assembly, which would then be held in October. The Council of Cardinals was established by Pope Francis with a papal chirograph in September 2013. He entrusted the Council with the task of assisting him in the governance of the Universal Church and studying a project for the reform of the Roman Curia. The reform was realized with the new Apostolic Constitution, Praedicate Evangelium, published in March 2022. The Pope renewed the membership of the Council of Cardinal Advisors in early March of this year. I'm Devin Watkins.
And that brings us just about to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we invite you to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook, X, and Instagram pages. Many thanks, as always, to our producers and sound engineers in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells.